and the Doris Duke Foundation.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the 43rd Annual Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, a family day in Lawrence's South Park featuring traditional acoustic music. Sunday, August 25th. More at fiddpick.org.
It's 70 degrees in Lawrence. It's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
By making a planned gift, you can support KPR for years to come. Options include contributing assets such as stocks, bonds, certificates of deposit, and real estate for your charitable gift. Contact your financial advisor or kansaspublicradio.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We have news headlines coming your way in about 11 minutes. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we're going to talk about the outbreak of tornadoes in New York State. We are going to get a review of a new classical record. A young pianist from a family of 7 musician siblings, making a name for herself these days. Tom Huizenga has that overview. And Rob Stein had a special interview with people at the CDC who are saying that COVID has become endemic. What exactly does that mean? We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Health Foundation, empowering Kansans to collaborate on a variety of challenges to make the state a healthier place to live. Ways to engage are at kansashealth.org.
Partly cloudy skies this evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, but clearing out by the afternoon, highs in the upper 70s tomorrow. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of rain late, lows around 60, 50% chance of showers and storms on Sunday with highs in the mid-70s. It's 70 degrees in Lawrence, 71 in Atchison, 80 in Chanute. The time is 6:20.
Changing the playing field on all things considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock for Weekend All Things Considered on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations.
Support for KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, now offering 3 weekly introductory yoga classes to help you establish consistent practice, Saturdays, Sundays, and Tuesdays. Learn more at yogacenteroflawrence.org.
News headlines are up next. Stay tuned. Lows in the upper 50s tonight, highs in the upper 70s tomorrow. It is 69 degrees in Topeka, 69 in Manhattan. The time is 6:30.
Parts of Vermont and New Hampshire before clearing out by early Saturday. This is NPR News in Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas and 14 other states are trying to stop the Biden administration from giving subsidized health care to DACA recipients. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach filed a lawsuit yesterday on behalf of 15 states in an attempt to stop the Federal Department of Health and Human Services from providing taxpayer-funded health care to the children of immigrants who illegally entered the country. The Kansas Reflector reports that the Biden administration wants to make DACA recipients, who are often called Dreamers, eligible for the Affordable Care Act. Hostess Brands is closing its Johnson County headquarters and laying off dozens of employees. For the Johnson County Post, Kyle Palmer filed this report.
The iconic maker of snack cakes like Twinkies and Ho-Ho's has made its corporate home in Lenexa since 2019, when it jumped across the state line from Kansas City. A year ago, Hostess was acquired by J.M. Smucker, and the move to shutter its corporate office appears to be related to that. A spokesperson called it a, quote, update to the company's organizational structure, end quote. It means 79 employees at the Lenexa office will be laid off in multiple phases starting next month. It's not clear how the move will impact a Hostess distribution center in Edgerton, Kansas, or a bakery in Emporia. I'm Kyle Palmer with the Johnson County Post.
The way Kansans farm could not only impact long-term climate change, but also affect local weather right now. Climatologists at Kansas State University measure how much water is lost from the average crop due to evaporation. This loss is higher in western Kansas compared to the rest of the state due to heat and high wind speeds. Matthew Siddle, climatologist for K-State, says it's an invisible process, so it's hard for farmers to know if their irrigation is effective.
And you may lose all that moisture you added in if you are in a weather pattern that's got high winds and low relative humidities and high temperatures.
All of that moisture and higher added humidity can make it feel hotter than it actually is for these communities surrounded by the agriculture industry. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, lows in the upper 50s, mostly cloudy tomorrow morning, but becoming mostly sunny by the afternoon with highs in the upper 70s. 30% chance of rain late tomorrow night with a low around 60. It's 6:35.
Support.
A revealing black cowboy culture. She's transforming country music forever.
Trying to understand the world.
What does this ceasefire proposal say?
And sometimes annoying Jerry Seinfeld.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Tune in Monday morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, a great way to get caught up on all the news from overnight and over the weekend. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the Taco Zone Catering, your locally owned and operated small business featuring a reimagined menu and expanded catering options for larger parties. Details at thetacozone.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia. Lots of other frequencies, too. They are listed for you at our website, where we're also streaming our broadcasts. The web address is kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Beautiful Music Violin Shop, offering student rentals of all violin family instruments for next semester and rehair and restoration of student and fine bows. More at BeautifulMusicVioLinShop.com.
Stay tuned. We still have another 10 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One tonight, up next we have the BBC Proms, a summer tradition on KPR. Tonight, opening night, Beethoven's Fifth. You don't want to miss it. It gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight. Again, that's on your KPR One stations. On KPR Two, as usual, it's Snap Judgment at 7 o'clock, followed by news from the BBC World Service. It's 70 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from BritBox, dedicated to helping people discover British crime series, including new seasons of Silent Witness, Blue Lights, and The Responder, starring Martin Freeman. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. From Fisher Investments, Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at FisherInvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From Progressive Insurance, where drivers can compare direct rates using Progressive's rate comparison tool, customers can see options and rates side by side. More at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
So Morning Edition from NPR News can't transport you to the beach this summer, but we can keep you company through all your summer adventures and keep you informed. Listen weekdays.
Monday through Friday, you hear Morning Edition on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Great way to get caught up on the news from overnight, from over the weekend, and a whole lot more.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Change to our regularly scheduled programming, and this is a change that will continue for several weeks. The return of the BBC Proms. It's kind of a summer tradition for us here at KPR. We will be bringing you programming showcasing the most memorable performance of this year's Proms, the UK's annual celebration of classical music. Tonight, opening night, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, Clara Schumann's Piano Concerto. The Proms are back, and we'll be doing this for the next few weeks. It all kicks off just moments from now here on KPR. 70 degrees in Lawrence, 69 in Topeka, 68 in Emporia. The time is 7:01. The BBC Proms are next.
This is SymphonyCast from APM, American Public Media. I'm Steve Seal. This week, it's the first of our trips to the UK this summer as we drop in on the largest classical music festival in the world, the BBC Proms. Every year from July through September, music fans enjoy 8 weeks of extraordinary music making with concerts of orchestra, choral, and chamber music. But the Proms isn't just big, it's also a lot of fun. In fact, the founder of the Proms back in 1895 wanted this festival to be accessible to the masses. And to this day, it still holds true to that mission. Proms is short for promenade, which refers to the fact that the festival's original concerts back in the day were held outdoors. Today, as has been the case since the 1940s, concerts take place chiefly at the Royal Albert Hall in London. But the Proms name has stayed in place since the festival's inception. And over time, it has become synonymous with the festival's joyous celebration of music. In fact, it's even a verb. Promming is a popular tradition that is central to the informal atmosphere of the festival. It refers to the two areas in the Royal Albert Hall where you can stand to watch these world-class performances. If you want to get up close to the performers, you'll want to prom in the arena. For a bird's-eye view of the stage, the gallery is where you can spread out and relax. And promming is pretty easy. Just turn up, get in line, or queue, as the Brits say, and then take your place in the magnificent Royal Albert Hall to enjoy a terrific concert like the one we're about to hear. The first and last night of the Proms Festival are always big events, and just ahead, we're off to this year's opening extravaganza with the BBC Symphony Orchestra, chorus, and singers, led by conductor Eileen Chan, and featuring special guest pianist Aisata Connie Mason for music by Handel, Bruckner, and Clara Schumann, as well as a world premiere work by Ben Nobuto, and what's sure to be a rafter-shaking rendition of the Symphony No. 5 by Beethoven. So, get ready for a program celebrating the joy of music making. The 2024 BBC Proms is about to get underway. Welcome to APM's SymphonyCast. Let's take our seats in the Royal Albert Hall now and turn things over to our colleagues from the BBC, Petroc Trelawney and Georgia Mann, beginning with Petroc.
Igor Yusupovich, leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, taking his place on stage. Eileen Chan will conduct this evening. As ever, the BBC Symphony Orchestra bookending the season, the first and last nights, and 10 other proms in between. Well, this evening, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and Aisata Connie Mason returns to the prom stage to play Clara Schumann's Piano Concerto. There's a new work by Ben Nobuto, a world premiere no less, and the BBC singers in their centenary year will celebrate the bicentenary of Bruckner with one of his psalm settings. Well, the Royal Albert Hall stands overlooking Hyde Park. It was Green Park where Handel's music for the Royal Fireworks was first heard in 1749. A spectacular wooden Doric temple was built for the occasion, from which a myriad of fireworks were discharged to celebrate the signing of the Treaty of Aix-la-Chapelle, which ended the War of Austrian Succession. Handel's music opens this 2024 season of the BBC Proms in an arrangement by Anthony Baines and Sir Charles McCarris that returns to a focus on the brass instruments that were requested by King George II. Only martial instruments he wanted in his arrangement. Elim Chan on the stage. She bows to the audience as the 2024 BBC Proms get underway.
Thank you.
two minuets, a beret called Rejoicing and a Sicilian called Peace amongst the dancers in Handel's Music for the Royal Fireworks. Handel writing in 1749. That arrangement made 200 years later by period instrument expert Anthony Baines and the conductor Sir Charles Mackerras, who drew on both Handel's original version, in which, to please the king, he used just martial instruments, and the arrangement for full orchestra that Handel later made, opening this first night of the proms on a sultry evening here in the Royal Albert Hall.
It's warm. It really is.
Really is. Well, this year the proms celebrate the bicentenary of the birth of Anton Bruckner. Seven of his works will feature this season, starting with a psalm setting written when he was almost 70. It's Psalm 150. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary, in the firmament of his power, for his mighty acts, for his excellent greatness. The BBC singers join the stage party now in their centenary year, and so does the soprano Sophie Bevan.
So he has this wonderful, huge alleluia at the start, and then everything comes right back, and then we hear this wonderful polyphonic writing for the chorus that gradually builds up until suddenly everything goes quiet, and then you get this solo violin and the solo voice, almost as though an angel suddenly appears, or maybe two angels, one with the violin. And it's almost as though you're at the gates of heaven, and this is what happens. This is what you hope happens. And maybe for Bruckner, this is what he was thinking. I mean, he wrote this towards the end of his life when his health was ailing in 1892, and it was the last sacred choral piece that he wrote.
Sophie Bevan. Well, Bruckner wrote this psalm setting in 1850, so after his retirement, he was later in life, as Sophie was saying, and we're giving Bruckner a big birthday airing this prom season. But it was not ever thus. Bruckner was virtually absent from the proms until the 1960s. Proms founder conductor Henry Wood attempted Bruckner's Seventh Symphony during the 1903 season, but as he wrote in his autobiography 35 years later, the public would not have it then, neither will they now. So Psalm 150 remained unheard until the strike hit prom season of 1980, and now it's back.
It's obviously a work that Bruckner was proud of. He bequeathed original manuscripts of his symphonies, three large masses, the string quintet, the Te Deum, and his choral work, Helgoland, to the Imperial Library in Vienna, along with Psalm 150. That was the only psalm setting he included.
Yes, so we know, because he was quite self-critical at times. Elian Chan and Sophie Bevan now taking a bow before we hear Bruckner's setting of Psalm 150.
Oh, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. That was an almighty Sam Bruckner setting of Psalm 150, sung by Sophie Bevan with the BBC Singers and BBC Symphony Chorus, Symphony Orchestra as well. Eliam Chan conducting. Praise also has to go to Neil Ferris, chorus master. Such an immense sound from our singers there, but also such clarity. What a way to open the season. Now then to a piano concerto written between 1833, let's get the right century, and 1836. Clara Schumann started on this piece when she was just 13. 3 years later, it was complete and premiered at the Leipzig Gewandhaus with Felix Mendelssohn. And this is a work that requires a virtuoso like Mendelssohn, really. Clara Schumann writing this music in the shadow of Beethoven. And the prevailing idea at the time was that piano concertos were showcases for the extreme pianistic fireworks that the best pianists could create. Clara wrote this before her marriage to Robert Schumann. And I can see Igor Yusufovich giving an A to the orchestra at the piano. She wrote it before marrying Robert. Sadly, she ceased to champion it, really, after they got together, and she devoted so much of her time to promoting his music.
Georgia, just saying that the Albert Hall is packed this evening, but this is a concert for the world. We're live on the BBC World Service this evening, and via the European Broadcasting Union, live on public radio stations in Netherlands, Hungary, Latvia, Romania, Greece and Poland. Issa Tekane Mason walks out onto the stage of the Royal Albert Hall. Eliam Chan behind. Listen to that applause.
What a dress, as Petrov described. Issa Tekane Mason clad in white and golden sequins. What a graceful and yet always powerful presence she is. Issa Tekane Mason taking a bow. Eliam Chan on the podium. We're going to hear Clara Schumann's Piano Concerto here at the BBC Proms 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Isotek Kenny Mason playing Clara Schumann's Piano Concerto in A minor. Helen Chan conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra rises to its feet as one on this first night of the 2024 Proms. Clara Schumann, great piano virtuoso, but she had stopped playing by the time the Proms started in 1895. Her music not heard here until 1996, the year that marked the centenary of her death. It's fantastic, isn't it, that this work, which is a neglected work, now has such a great champion in Isotek Kenny Mason.
It really is. She released a whole album, actually, of music by Clara Schumann, and she was asked as well, you know, what her theories were on why Clara Schumann didn't really return to composing after Robert Schumann's death. Isotek thinks that it's partly because Robert encouraged Clara's composing a lot, and Clara herself often expressed doubts about her composing skills and thought, should I actually be doing this? So wonderful, Petrov, that she has a modern-day champion when she herself, weirdly, was plagued by self-doubt.
After that stamping from the Proms, Isotek Kenny Mason returns, wends her way through the orchestra, bows once again, hand on that beautifully prepared Steinway, creating such a magnificent sound, as it will across the season, and she sits down, I think, for an encore.
Aceta Kane Mason with her encore tonight. The Man I Love by Gershwin, arranged by Percy Grainger. Such elegance that she has. She's sort of elegance personified, but also capable of such power, Petrov. And I think she has her back to us at the Steinway here at the Royal Albert Hall. And yet, I think there's something very dancer-like in her movements.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I hope one of her future albums might be a jazz album featuring more of those wonderful Grainger arrangements. Also, something amazing about that performance, because it just shows what a versatile space this building is. The lights went very low. The only illumination on stage, apart from the spotlight on the piano, the lit music stands of the BBC Symphony Orchestra players. It suddenly felt like a sort of smoky jazz club, like a night at Ronnie Scott's. Before that, in the Clara Schumann, it was like a grand concert room. It was like a great cathedral as we listened to Bruckner's setting of Psalm 150. This great oval space with well over 5,000 people squeezed in it this evening. It really can be so many different things, and that is one of the joys of the Proms, this great room of music, the Royal Albert Hall.
The transformative power of the Proms.
And we'll be back to experience much more of that transformative power when we return to Georgia Mann and Petrarch Trelawney at the Royal Albert Hall in a moment. We're at intermission now, here at the opening concert of the 2024 BBC Proms. I'm Steve Seal. SymphonyCast is in London this week at the Proms, one of the largest and longest-running classical music festivals in the world. Before we break, a reminder, you can listen to this concert again from our website, but do it soon because you'll only have access to the Proms concerts for a few weeks. Just go to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. And from our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. That's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. More from the first night of the Proms in just a moment on APM's SymphonyCast.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU in KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org. You're listening to a special broadcast of the opening night of the BBC Proms. There'll be more from the Proms in just a moment. You know, 72% of NPR listeners value public radio as an important community service. Support your community and promote your business by sponsoring KPR. Learn more at sponsorship.ku.edu. Tonight in northeast and east central Kansas, cloudy skies, lows in the upper 50s. You're listening to KPR.
Welcome back to SymphonyCast. I'm Steve Seal. This week we're in London for the 2024 BBC Proms, the largest and longest-running classical music festival in the world. And if you're just tuning in, we're right in the middle of opening night. The BBC Symphony Chorus and singers are all assembled at the Royal Albert Hall in London, led by conductor Eline Chan. Still to come, Beethoven's Fifth as a triumphant finale to this opening concert of the Proms' 130th season. But first, the world premiere of a new work by composer Ben Nabuto that is not only inspired by video gaming, but is actually structured like a video game. Let's return now to our colleagues from the BBC, Petrarch Trelawney and Georgia Mann, who will explain it all for us.
We are mere seconds away from the second half of tonight's Proms starting. Beethoven's almighty fatalistic outpouring, his Fifth Symphony, still to come.
Yes, Igor Yusufovich, leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, on his feet and tuning the orchestra as we prepare for the world premiere of Ben Nabuto's Hallelujah Sim. The rules are simple. The chorus must follow the instructions given to them by a narrator. Sing faster, sing slower, sing backwards, try again, combine voice types, randomize syllables. They have to follow those instructions in order to progress through the piece. There are four levels or hallelujahs to complete, each one with a different challenge, followed by a final amen. And only when all four levels are cleared, the piece is finished. As Ben was saying, the piece takes its cue from the Bruckner Hallelujahs that we heard in the first half. Here is Elim Chan, BBC Symphony Chorus and the BBC Singers joining the BBC Symphony Orchestra now in the world premiere of Proms Commission Hallelujah Sim by Ben Nabute.
Welcome to Hallelujah. Simulation. The following is a step-by-step tutorial. Please follow the instructions carefully. Are you ready to proceed? Hallelujah, 1, first syllable. Altos only. Sopranos. Tenors. Basses. Together. Second syllable. No. Combined. Okay. Third syllable. Lower voices. Upper voices. Together. Randomize. Faster. Completed. Hallelujah, 2.
Yeah. Hallelujah, 3. A cappella. Thank you for completing the tutorial. Okay.
That was the world premiere performance of Ben Lobuto's Hallelujah Sing, a BBC commission, an ecstatic reaction to that brand new piece opening the first or rather the second half of the first night of the BBC Proms. Applause for Ben Nabuto, who's under the spotlight now.
Yes, the composer from Kent, British-Japanese composer. Prizes including the Arthur Bliss Composition Prize at Cambridge, Ivor's Classical Award, and a Royal Philharmonic Society Award. And, you know, it seems strangely appropriate to hear that work with that computerised voice on the day that the world's computers crashed.
Yes, there's a deep irony there. Ben says that there's a term in robotics, the uncanny valley, where something appears almost human but is eerily just off, evoking this weird mix of horror slash revulsion and attraction. He said, I like applying that in a musical context. He really did, Petrov. It was sort of switching in and out of that video game's sound world with that visceral, almighty power of the Alleluias from Bruckner.
Yeah, Neil Ferris just back on stage there to take another bow, chorus director of the BBC Symphony Chorus. There on the back two rows of the main risers, and then in the front rows on either side of the organ, the BBC singers in front of them. And, well, I think they were challenged there, but they looked like they were relishing the challenge.
Give them many an award. That was a big sing, and it was fantastic. There's some furniture moving happening on stage right now as we move towards the last work of the night, one of the best-loved symphonies ever written, Beethoven's Fifth. Those famous opening notes first rang out here at the Proms in the inaugural season, actually, of 1895. Tonight, the woman wielding the baton is Elim Chan.
From the first sound of this piece, you know, that motif, the bop, 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 like this thing, there's something that just goes straight into your soul. I think, like, you just shake. And this feeling of humanity fighting against destiny or fighting against whatever coming against us. I think this is such a universal struggle. But then, of course, we're never alone, right? And there's always this feeling of inviting others to come together. And the second movement comes in so wonderfully to have this feeling of, you know, let's plead together, to find the common place together. And then, of course, this explosion of that wonderfully brilliant C major in the finale. It's one of those moments that you really feel like the light is so strong in your eyes.
Elim Chan, the first Hong Konger ever to conduct the first night of the Proms. Very proud Hong Konger too. You can't really underestimate how radical this symphony was when it was first heard, as Richard Wigmore writes in the programme note tonight. New listeners had to contend with the terrifying assault of the Fifth Symphony's first movement, a scherzo by turn, spectral and savage. No symphonic scherzo before Bruckner's Ninth is less jokey. And the claustrophobic passage underpinned by eerily beating timpani before the finale erupts in incandescent C major. The French composer Jean-François Lesueur heard a performance of it. He was so overwhelmed that when it finished, he tried to put on his hat, but couldn't find his head. Elim Chan makes her way centre stage here at the Proms to conduct the BBC Symphony Orchestra in Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Thank you. Thank you.
First night of the Proms 2024 ends with surely the most iconic of symphonies, Beethoven's Fifth, performed by the orchestra who are the lifeblood of this, the world's greatest classical music festival, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, led by Igor Yusufovich, conducted by Eileen Chan.
I'll think, she says, while conducting this work of Beethoven with his crazy hair, pounding his fists, because he's so angry with the politics of the time and with his deafness. I try to connect with these raw emotions and that frustration so that the music becomes about now.
I thought, Petrov, there was a real kind of frantic feel to that, which was very Beethovenian, actually. There was some serious tempi going on. They were racing through that, but in the best possible way.
The last work on this first night of the 2024 Proms. 8 weeks of glorious music making lies ahead. Every Prom live here on BBC Radio 3. Tonight we're joined by listeners around the world on the BBC World Service and live on Netherlands Radio from Hilversum, Bartok Radio from Budapest, Latvian Radio from Riga, Romanian Radio Bucharest, Greek radio in Athens and Polish radio in Warsaw. And in the weeks to come, many other European broadcasters and international broadcasters, including ABC Classic in Australia and Minnesota Public Radio across the United States, will be broadcasting this great concert series. Wider still and wider as the words go that we'll hear on the last night in this truly global musical event.
And a global music event that we are thrilled to be bringing you here on SymphonyCast. And we will continue to bring you throughout the remainder of the summer with thrilling concerts of the 2024 BBC Proms Festival from the Royal Albert Hall in London, right here on SymphonyCast. You can listen again to this concert from our website, but a reminder to do it soon because you'll only have access to the Proms concerts for 30 days. Just go to yourclassical.org/symphonycast. And from our website, you can also like us on Facebook and download free music. Again, that's yourclassical.org/symphonycast. In the remaining time, we'll have one more performance featuring the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Here they are, led by conductor Jerzy Bielalowicz, with the Scherzo Capriccioso by Antonín Dvořák on SymphonyCast.
Scherzo Capriccioso by Antonín Dvořák. That performance featured the BBC Symphony Orchestra with Jiří Belalovec on the podium on SymphonyCast. This week's SymphonyCast from the BBC Proms featured music of Handel, Bruckner, Clara Schumann, Ben Nabuto, and Beethoven. You can listen to this concert again from our website, the SymphonyCast page at yourclassical.org. While on the website, you can like us on Facebook and download free music. All of it is at yourclassical.org. APM SymphonyCast is produced by Daniel Nass, with technical director Michael Osborne and assistance from Tania Major. I'm Steve Seal. We'll see you again next time on SymphonyCast. This is APM, American Public Media, bringing music to life.
Thanks for joining us for tonight's broadcast of the BBC Proms. The next concert from the Proms will be the same time next week, Friday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to listen to this or any of the BBC Proms concerts once again, you can do so for a limited time over at yourclassical.org/symphonycast. Stay tuned for news from NPR, followed by jazz with Bob McWilliams. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and always online at Kansas Public Radio. .org.
Live from NPR News in New York, I'm Jack Spear. Former President Donald Trump is back on the campaign trail in Montana tonight. He's holding a rally for the Republican who's looking to unseat the Democratic incumbent there. Here's NPR Stephen Fowler.
As Vice President Harris and her running mate Tim Walz were barnstorming battleground states this week, Trump stayed home. Trump tells reporters he doesn't need to do as many in-person events because he's up in the polls.
Because I'm leading by a lot and because I'm letting their convention go through, and I am campaigning a lot. I'm doing tremendous amounts of taping here. We have commercials that are at a level I don't think that anybody's ever done before.
But polls have shown a tightening race, with Harris pulling ahead in some key states, while Trump still has a slight edge in others. Trump's headlining a rally in Montana for Senate candidate Tim Sheehy, who's hoping to flip a vulnerable seat. Stephen Fowler, NPR News.
In the event that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz formally steps down to become vice president, his replacement would become the first Native American woman to govern a state. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe, the most populous tribal group in North America. She became the highest-ranking Native American statewide official in the country when she was elected in 2018. Flanagan has helped shape the administration's policies and is one of several indigenous women who've moved through the political ranks in the past decade. The Algerian boxer Aman Khalif has won the Olympic gold medal amid a political controversy around her participation in the women's boxing event. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports from Paris.
The controversy around Khalif and another female boxer at the Olympics stems from claims by the International Boxing Association that they had failed gender eligibility tests. Olympic officials say those tests are illegitimate and that the two boxers are, in fact, eligible for the Summer Games. The Olympics cut ties with the IBA last year. For 2 weeks, Khalif endured harassment on social media, but now she has won Olympic gold. After the match, she forcefully rejected the criticism. I'm a woman like any other woman, she says. I was born a woman, I live as a woman, and I competed as a woman. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Paris.
The Federal Reserve was set up to operate as an independent entity, and even when it has frustrated politicians, including presidents, that independence has been honored. However, speaking at a news conference last night, former President Trump seems to be indicating he might change that. Trump saying he believes a president should have some say over how the nation's central bank makes interest rate decisions. Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris, for her part, said that independence should remain, according to business news channel CNBC, which cited a Harris aide. Stocks ended the week on a up note. The Dow gained 51 points. The Nasdaq rose 85 points. You're listening to NPR News. A passenger plane has crashed in southeastern Brazil, sparking a fire in a residential area outside Sao Paulo. Zampira's Kerry Khan reports officials say four crew members and 57 passengers were on the flight.
According to local firefighters, the plane operated by Volpass Airlines crashed in a residential neighborhood on its way to Sao Paulo's International Airport. The plane had taken off before noon. Firefighters were called to the scene around 1:20 p.m. local time. Videos posted on social media show the plane spinning out of control and falling from the sky. Other social media posts show large black billows of smoke and flames coming from the crash site. According to Flight Radar, a global flight tracker, the plane dropped more than 13,000 feet in just 2 minutes. In southern Brazil, at a public event, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva asked for a minute of silence. He said it appeared all on board had died, but didn't give specifics. Kerry Khan, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
What's being billed as a first-of-its-kind allergy spray has been given the green light by U.S. health officials. The spray, which offers an alternative to products like EpiPens, has been approved by the FDA as an emergency treatment for adults and older children experiencing life-threatening allergic reactions. To be marketed under the brand name Neffy, it's a needle-free solution to help millions of Americans who suffer severe allergic reactions to food and other things. Crude oil futures prices moved higher today, up 65 cents a barrel to $76.84 a barrel. Oil rose more than 3.5% this week amid increasingly positive economic news. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in New York.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation. For nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at Mott.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Eddie and Charles Creole Orchestra on KPR. That was Eddie Ant's arrangement of a great Joe Henderson tune called A Shade of Jade. Opening tonight's Jazz in the Night here on KPR, the album is called Eddie and Charles Creole Orchestra. Featured soloists on that one were the alto saxophonist Michael Thomas and the guitarist Alex Wentz with the Eddie and Charles Creole Orchestra album for you here on KPR. More new music from Oscar Hernandez and Alma Libre, the New York Latin jazz combo led by the pianist and composer Oscar Hernandez. That's next. We'll follow that up with the music from West Side Story, an album of those tunes by alto saxophonist the late, great Richie Cole. I'm Bob McWilliams on Jazz in the Night on KPR. Let's hear from Oscar Hernandez and Alma Libre. The album's called No Words Needed, and here's the title track on KPR.